You can hear me okay too, right? Ooh.
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, great.
All right. Hey, welcome to Robbie Wood, everybody. I am here with Low Res Wonder Bread. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Good to see you, Robbie. Nice. It's been a while. It's been a second.
Yeah. It's been way too long.
Ooh. Something happened?
Whoa. Oh, Jesus. Oh, sorry. My YouTube was in a loop.
Okay. I thought you were going to tell me Bill Cosby died or something.
Oh, no. I just opened up my YouTube window and it started playing exactly what I said like 5 seconds ago. So I thought I was like in an acid loop or something. I like heard myself talking like, how are you doing, man? Anyway. Yeah, good to see you, man. I recently worked on the, if you guys don't know, Lourdes is a fantastic filmmaker and director.
Oh, thank you.
And yeah, I just worked on your series, Omega Fish Corp.
That's right. Yeah, it was it was kind of like summer camp working on Omega Fish Corp. The vibe of most of the sets was very chaotic in a fun way. I just saw you had Ivy Wolk on your show.
Yeah, we just had Ivy on.
Ivy was introduced to, not like actually introduced, but you remember Paige from OFC. Paige,
Calvo.
He's an actor in the series. He's got a movie coming out called The 3-2 Pull Down, directed by Greg Golding. But he plays a character on OFC, and he suggested the idea because we were struggling to cast the character of what's going to be my co-director / co-star G-Mac, his character's wife. And his wife is supposed to be like a crackhead wigger, like a Flavor of Love rejected contestant. And we were going to cast a 65-year-old black woman named Yolanda Pringle for a second. And
that's a real name?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She, if you ever watch those like Tubi black family movies, she's a staple in those. She pops up all the time.
Oh wow. That's so funny.
That was our front runner for the longest time. And then Paige was like, well, what if we cast somebody from like this dime square circle of things? I was like, I'm totally up for the idea of that. And he proposed Ivy. And Ivy's obviously very funny. Ivy's awesome. Ivy is having a moment right now of, you know, coming up and kind of defining her comedic identity. And she said no. She said, actually, you're gonna have to run it by my agent. And that kind of pissed me off. That because, you know, we're clearly on a level of being so far down here, even though we had an actual budget on OOC, clearly like nothing is being run by the union. So I said to G-Mac, I was like, we should call her agent up and be like, and just fuck with them. Just fuck with both of them. Let's just ruin their day and be like, hey, you know, we would love to have Ivy on this show. But, you know, the max we can probably pay her is $5,000 a day. I think we're going to cap that out at $5,000 a day for Ivy.
Amazing.
And then when, you know, it would come time to accept, just fucking ghost her. Because that, you know, we're petty. And we were making fun of a lot of the actors too. Like right in the run-up, I don't know if you saw any of it, but we would get these people on backstage casting who had egos and were like not warranted for having egos, who would be
that's so funny.
I have to pay. I have to find my own parking. Are you kidding me? And there was a lot of fun just in the lead up to interact with these people and get to know them. And luckily, I mean, I'll say this: what was shocking to me and a lot of people is Robbie. You're like the most normal guy in the world. You were the most normal person on any OFC set, I would say, by far.
Oh, really?
I would say so. Yes,
that's good to hear. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nick. Yeah. That's cool. That's good to hear. Yeah. It was, dude, I just had fun doing it. I love like being on set and stuff. Cause it's not like my world as much, but I love doing it. And I love movies and stuff.
You were great.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. They played, some of the footage on Gavin McInnes's show. Someone sent me the clip and Gavin was like,
Gavin hated it.
I know. He's like, this guy's terrible about me. He's like, everyone knows that you wouldn't get, because I improvise like about the tie. I was like, you see this tie? Brooks Brothers. Like the joke is that's
yeah,
not
he got
that
hung
nice.
Up on the Brooks Brothers line that you improvise. Like, that's clearly not Brooks Brothers. You know, he had a problem
everybody,
with that.
everybody knows that that's not a Brooks Brothers tie.
And I'm like, I don't think everybody knows that. I think you know that, Gavin. You and like your menswear circle. But yeah, it was cool. Ryan was really fun to, I mean, it was, all you guys were really fun to work with, and the script was very funny, and it was cool. I was just coming off a breakup, so it was nice to like book something and feel like my career was going somewhere, you know? It was like fun to like busy myself a little with that.
Well, it's good to know that it was kind of a parachute for you in that way. I mean, we're probably going to wind up doing some more shooting for Omega Fish Corp in the next couple of weeks or so. We've got, I'd say about three quarters of the episodes that are done and they're ready to go. But we held off on shooting the finale because we wanted a bit of time between the primary shooting of the series and then picking up where it all ends, essentially. And we also just also wanted to get a vibe if we want to keep doing this, if we want it to be a multi-season thing, or if it, because it's the way that, obviously you read the script, the way that it's written, we had a series in mind at first, and then we were like, there's no way we're going to be able to sell this as a series to anyone. Let's do it as a movie. So we wrote it as a movie script. And then when we did sell it, it was, oh, actually, this would be great, but as a series, like, no shit. Yeah, okay, all right, let's do it that way. So it's just a matter of, all right, we're going to put a cap on things eventually and feel out where everybody's at in terms of wanting to continue or not wanting to continue, and we'll make a decision from there. But, I mean, your character has a pretty defined conclusion. I don't, maybe not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe beat the allegations. I don't know. But it would be great to work with you again.
Raphael asks, explain to the folks at home where we can watch this thing, guys. Lorez just directed this. It was a series, then it's a movie, but it's going to be a series. It's in production right now.
Yeah, we're still technically in post, and I guess because it is a series, we're still in principal photography. It was acquired by Massacre Video. And it was originally going to come out through their streaming service, but the streaming service was technically owned by another company. They've since divorced. So Massacre Video is going to be launching their own streaming platform soon. And we're probably going to do like a small theatrical rollout in New York these episodes. They're very hung up on, kind of subverting expectation when it comes to what you put in the theater. And the guy who runs Massacre Video, this man named Lewis, has just Jay so Gomez? Much yeah no that would be
wow, he's tri-
hey
another
I tried making a sale with Louis J. Gomez in the past, way back in the day. Not interested, no interest at all. But this Louis is a new pal of mine since he gives me money. So it'll probably do something in terms of events in New York later this year, and hopefully we wind up putting it out on streaming by the end of this year.
I love the idea of Louis trying to like be Harvey Weinstein, just like, all right, look, you gotta cut that scene, it's boring, I don't get it.
I would love to hear his input on anything in terms of arts.
Where's like the girls with big jugs? Where's all the girls with the big jugs? That's what everybody likes to see. So Dalton should, that's funny, he's in the chat of his stream. It's not, Dalton's thing is pre-recorded. He should, there he is.
Oh, hello.
Hey, Dalton, what's up?
How are you?
One
doing?
Of your friends was saying that was somehow this guy is in my chat saying pre-record Dalton with Dalton in the live chat is better than no Dalton. So why are you in my chat then? if you were enjoying pre-recorded Dalton.
John Castle is a bit of a troll, but also a proud supporter of what we do.
That's great. I love I hate getting trolled. But I love owning trolls, though. That's my new thing. I'm gonna start owning trolls.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those fans who loves to hate the thing he's a fan of. Mm. We do that.
Yeah, we basically do that.
Yeah,
that's basically just consuming hours of content about Bert Kreischer as if it doesn't make us fans.
Yeah, that's why we're perfect for the internet, because we know the mind.
Yeah.
of the people that are on the internet.
That's true. Dalton, you worked with Low Res, right? You guys know each other?
Yeah. I've acted for Low Res.
Yes, I worked with Dalton pictures. before you, in fact, Robbie. Yeah. Dalton does a character in Mass State Lottery. He pops up with a talk show host that we had played by Tim Stabers, who's maniac. He's just a crazy guy. And Dalton, you're very, very funny in Masked Day Larder. That's the feedback I've gotten from people who've watched the movie this far.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was fun. That was like right before I got really sick.
Yeah. Dalton plays the Mass in Mass State Law.
Come on, man.
No, I think you would actually, I mean, I don't know the lore, but I remember it was post Loud Boys, but pre your full return, your rise as a Phoenix.
Yeah, you had hit me up like right after I got out of the mental hospital. So I was still like not doing well. And then it wasn't too long after that.
The low res is like the perfect time to pounce.
Yeah, the perfect time to grab Dalton. He's perfect for my movie now.
Yeah.
Now that he's twisted like me.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, he's finally right for Dime Square.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's cool that I have an acting credit.
Well, I think you have, I don't know. When I added you to the IMDb, it said you had more acting credit.
Oh, I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, he was acting like a damn fool.
I've never acted other than that I'm aware of.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe people are just playing mind games with you then. I don't know. Trolling again. Could be.
Yeah. I don't know. I like watching movies here and there, but I've never had any real desire to be a part of movies.
Really?
I don't.
You never like wanted to make a movie or write a movie or anything like that?
No, I just kind of wanted to be a shithead on the internet.
Wow, Raphael has your number, low res. This low res fellow looks like he's a Vonson.
You look like a Vonson Gallo fan.
I love Vonson. I love Vonson Von Gal. low res, you have his pants, right? You have a pair of Vincent Gallo's.
Yeah, I try. I mean, Vincent, the moment for like Vincent Gallo has passed at this point. He, as soon as he had that event in it was a Dime Square event that they threw where they were screening Buffalo 66. I feel like it just kind of culminated into that, and him as this kind of cult figure has died down since. But I've gotten that before. I was told once by some like Tumblr anonymous person back in the day, it was like, oh, you look like Vincent Gallo if Vincent Gallo ate too many sandwiches.
Oh,
so it's pretty rude. It's a very backhanded compliment. But I do have a pair of his pants. I bought something of his off of his eBay account where he goes by Family Friend Records, and he sent my purchase to France and was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I sent it to France. Let me send you here. I'll refund you.
He thought your name was Louvre Wonderbread.
Yeah. He had the best customer service of anybody I've ever encountered on eBay. He said, I'll send you your money back, and you can pick one thing, anything from my store and have that. And as it turns out, we're the same pant size, I guess. So
nice, dude.
Nice. Mm.
Vincent Jello says, Lores, you're not fat though. Why would someone? I think maybe it's because Vincent looks malnourished. They said that.
I suppose so. I mean, I don't know. I've got a softer face than Vincent Gallo. He's very defined, very like post leukemia looking, you know.
I guess that's just like, I guess it's just kind of a little gallows humor. Dalton, what'd you get at the grocery store?
I got some rotisserie chickens. It took me so long because they kept trying to scan my chickens, and I said, I don't want any LED light on the chickens. Scan my shirt.
And they were like, Mr. Cosby.
Yeah.
I don't want any LED lights on the chickens.
No, did you not see that little fucking Jewish guy that he had made a shirt that had the barcode for the Costco rotisserie chicken?
No.
And so he went to Costco. Some videos going around, and he had loaded up on like 5 rotisseries. When he got to the register, he's like, I don't want the LED light on my shirt or on my chickens. Scan my shirt instead. Don't light my chickens.
Wait, why did he say that? Like, what's the point?
just one of those like schizo conspiracy theories. I guess the LED light is gonna infect his chickens and make him sick. So he wanted them to scan his shirt instead.
You know what? I believe it. I believe that.
That's what's lighting my set right now is this rotisserie chicken light I have on camera.
I know this is the movies podcast. Lores looks like he's in a fucking like a Brian Yuzna movie. Or Society.
Who's Brian Yuzna?
I was literally like, hold on, I'm the movie expert. You just threw a reference out there I didn't get. But Society.
Brian Yuzna, he did
that.
From Beyond and Society. Yeah.
Okay. See, what I usually get is, low res looks like he's in the bathroom right now. I'm raging.
Lores got embarrassed and just tears everything down.
Now you can see my thermostat in the background. That's what I'm covering up here. But
You don't want people to see the temperature. That's private information.
No, I'm just going to strategically rest my head in front of it. I've seen those movies. He's kind of a Lovecraftian style director. Seems like body horror.
Yeah, I think the special effects fellow is the that Japanese guy, Screaming Mad George. I think did all the like practical effects for those movies.
Wait, his name is Screaming Mad George.
Yeah, he's a Chinaman
a Def Jam comic? That sounds like a Def Jam comic.
No, he's like the
folks. I'm screaming mad. I'm screaming mad right now.
He's like Chinese Tom Savini. He's like one of the big special effects guys from that era.
Yeah.
And I think he's like Chinese or Japanese or some shit. Dirty knees. Look at these. Yeah. But all of those movies all have this, like, I guess now they call it bisexual lighting, but you know, that like they soft do. Pink.
Well, I think they went farther red back in the 80s than people remember. And I'm thinking probably more so of Society here, but they do love that. Here, we got a little bit of blue. We got a little bit of red here. And
oh, shit. All right. Michael Hall with a $20 super chat.
Damn,
Robbie rules. Lores. I was going to pounce on the Kenny Rogers chicken roasters joke from Seinfeld. But Michael, you paid 20 bucks. You get that one. By the way, when people say Jerry Seinfeld isn't funny on Seinfeld, I point to that episode because the scene where he pretends to be Kramer is very funny.
I do still have pink eye. Someone in the chat mentioned my pink eye. I got to wash my pillowcase or something.
Yeah, your eye looks like Lores' room. Did you get new glasses, by the way?
These are different glasses. Yeah, I mean, I have my other glasses here. I have a few different sunglasses.
They both look like IMAX 3D glasses.
Yeah, they both look like I just had cataract surgery.
The first pair remind me of if you ever saw like a Super Soaker commercial from the 90s with a cool kid in them.
Yeah, I have cool kid water gun glasses.
That's very astute, Lores. I was like, I feel like they both look like glasses I would have thought looked really cool in about 1998 when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
I like them. I think it's a good look. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. The yellow really.
What was that, Dalton?
Brightens
things up. I feel cool, dude. I feel powerful.
I will say this. I was wearing sunglasses today, and I felt really cool when I was wearing them. I think I might need them because my eyes are very intense.
Yeah, let's just all wear sunglasses the rest of the show here.
There we go.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna break out the sunglasses.
The sunglass boys.
Okay. Yeah. Wait. Give me 1 second so I can grab my sunglasses. Get some sunglasses.
We'll talk about some old, I guess, horror movies. We'll keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, when I had you on my show, we talked about The Green Inferno. If you
that
remember.
Was fun. I enjoy that movie. Yeah, Eli Roth he's like the Zack Snyder of horror. He's really good at doing like maximalist. Whatever Zack Snyder does, he does with horror is the best way I can describe Eli Roth.
That's a very apt comparison. That's a good way to put it. I'm sure Robbie will appreciate that. Robbie,
and they look like this.
I overheard that, and I sprinted over to agree with you. I think that's a really good comparison, Dalton.
Yeah.
And look at that.
Damn, you did the David Caruso. The slow. Yeah, nice.
I think we've got here. Wait, hold on. And action.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, no, that's Entourage.
Yeah.
David Caruso. But yeah, I like Eli Roth. My one qualm is that I think Adam Sandler would have been much better as the Bear Jew in Inglourious Basterds.
Completely agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course. He's actually an actor. Eli Roth's not an actor.
Yeah. fuck, what do I want to say? God damn it. Has Eli Roth made a good movie?
Tons. I think so. I like a lot of Eli Roth's movies. I mean, I'm not a hater or anything. He hasn't had anything especially good recently. I'll tell you one that's kind of underrated is that Knock Knock movie he shot in Brazil with Keanu Reeves.
Oh,
that's
a good movie. Is that that weird one where like he gets raped or something?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves gets raped by Ana de Armas.
Yeah, they turn out to be underage or something, and they start blackmailing him, and they're going to tell his family, they're going to tell the police, da da da. And it's a pretty solid flick.
Yeah, I like that Tarantino has never done a commentary on any of his movies, but does do commentary on Hostel 1.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, Eli Roth is, you know, if you're in the right mindset, if you understand that these are just spectacle. It's not, these are not thinking man's movies. These are just turn your brain off and, you know, enjoy the ride. And that's, you know, same with Zack Snyder. That being said, I've not seen Rebel Moon 1 or 2. I'm waiting for the R-rated.
Yeah, you got to wait for the Snyder. I like that they already have a built-in Snyder cut.
Like, yeah, I like that he did not, he didn't learn the right lessons from the Snyder cut. He said,
which is brilliant, by the way. I am pro Snyder cut.
The Snyder cut, the Justice League thing was organic though.
Yeah,
like that was just a literal labor.
It was a literal labor of love. he did that because he really wanted to make that movie.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of was born from like these circumstances and this tragedy that no one
thought
was going to happen because his daughter killed herself.
Right, Joss Whedon's career. Yeah. Oh yeah, that
too. Joss Whedon's career, the biggest tragedy.
Oh
yeah.
So it was just like this weird thing that came together kind of organically. But it seems like the lesson he learned from it was not that, you know, he can be like an endearing director and people like him and they want to see his vision. It seemed like what he learned from it was marketing, which was,
oh yeah,
now I can manufacture the same thing again with my Star Wars knockoff movies. Right.
But he never, I mean, the thing is, and you're spot on, Dalton. He didn't have the limitations with Netflix. Netflix is literally like, you want to do two different versions of these 5-hour movies? Okay, yeah, let's do that. It'll work out great for us. But I do think because people are so aware and he won't shut up about the R-rated ones, this new Rebel Moon movie doesn't really have any hype around it. I haven't seen people talking about it. When the first one dropped around, I think it was Christmas time.
Yeah, it was Christmas.
People were talking about it. It didn't have as much buzz as Army of the Dead or Zack Snyder's Justice League, but now it's just like it seems to be flatlining in terms of the dialogue around.
I've seen people talk about it.
I feel like they kind of dumped it, the second one. Like, yeah. I don't think I haven't seen like a hide nor hair of a poster or like a trailer or anything.
Hide nor hair?
Sam Hyde nor Harry nor, Potter. Yeah. No. Okay.
Sam Hyde nor a rabbit?
I haven't seen Sam Hyde nor a tortoise in the hair.
I think, well, I've seen people talk about it, and consensus seems to be anywhere from this sucks to it's so bad it's good. But no one has said it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Zack Snyder apologist, and it felt very, like, hollow. Like, it just felt like a lot of, like, tropes. Like, it was just not that original. Like, the script was just shit.
Yeah, it's a Star
The first
Wars.
One, I haven't...
He wanted to do Star Wars.
But Dalton, your tweet, I thought the exact same thing. I thought it was called The Scare Giver.
I thought it was called The Scare Giver. And then I finally like looked at the poster and was like, oh, The Scar Giver.
Yeah.
So it's the Red Bar movie. Mm-hmm. It's about the
Scars Club.
We've got ourselves a rebel moon. Look at that. Look at these guys. Look at this. Look at these guys.
I think your Red Bar impression is a top five for Robbie impressions. Thanks. It's
a good,
it's
so good. Right, your Red Bar is good.
I bonded with Ivy Wolk over our love of Red Bar, which is a very funny commonality.
Yeah. I made another good ass point about Rebel Moon, because I don't know if you guys are familiar with the discography of Coheed and Cambria, but it's all like one long story about space and spaceships and some fucking war, like a Star Wars thing. It's called the Amory Wars. So
I'm not that familiar with Coheed and Cambria.
Okay, so the entire 20 plus years of Coheed and Cambria, most of their albums, except for maybe like one or two, are all telling this one long story about some intergalactic conflict called the Amory Wars.
Okay.
And so the Rebel Moon reminded me of that. I saw the first one and I was like, oh, it's like Coheed and Cambria, the movie.
Yeah, it's like Coheed and Cambria. I wonder if anyone else had that thought in the entire world, Dalton.
That makes me think of something that these Netflix movies have been lacking, which is that Zack Snyder's films usually have a very well-known soundtrack of existing pop culture songs. And that doesn't seem to be the case with the Rebel Moon movies. I think he might have had Elvis or something in Army of the Dead, but I think back to Watchmen, for example, and that has such a defined soundtrack that fits the movie great. You can listen to it all by itself. He doesn't have that so much with these more recent ones.
Coheed and Cumia. Compounded. Coheed and Cambria, wake me up when it's Compound and Cumia. I agree. What I kind of like about Zack Snyder's movie here, I think he takes a lot of properties, and his best stuff, I think, is when he takes like stuff that's already like in the nerd zeitgeist or like a comic, basically, and kind of puts his own personality into it and like makes a version of it that no one else would make. When he makes original stuff, it's not quite.
Watchmen is good.
I love Watchmen. I like 300 too. I like a lot of his movies. Like I think all of his movies that are based on something I really like. But I like Sucker Punch too, actually.
I hate it. I can't tolerate that or Army of the Dead. Those two movies for me.
I did watch
Army of the Dead would have been better with D'Elia for sure.
Yeah. Let's get
D'Elia. That was the movie I watched.
As a bear Jew. How about we get D'Elia as a bear Jew?
This movie is missing the seasoning that is D'Elia. That's what the spice this movie's missing.
He must be really feeling like he missed the boat, because it seems like all of Rogan's stable of comedians are becoming movie stars now. Like I watched Ricky Stenicki, which is a John Cena comedy arc, and it features Andrew Santino in it.
It's such a like refreshingly just like funny movie from like a bygone era. We don't get movies like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Santino drags it from a solid 7 to a 6. He fucking sucked in that movie.
Wasn't he an actor? Yeah. He's like one of those comics who was like an actor and then he got into his comedy.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, he played a comedian. He played a comedian on a show on Showtime about the Comedy Store in the 1980s. Yeah. And then he was just like, I guess I'll become a stand up for real.
Wow, I'm so good with I'm killing with these scripted scenes. I got to become a real
dude. Comic. Imagine how bad at acting in comedy you have to be to be in a movie where you look worse than Jeff Ross does in the movie. you're worse at this than Jeff Ross.
Oh my god!
I was happy to see Jeff Ross after all the Santino I had to sit through.
Wow, that's dark. That's dark when Jeff Ross comes in. You're like, finally, some real talent.
For sure, dude.
Yeah, Santino is not. I just don't really get it. I just don't get what. I don't know. I saw him live a couple times, and he seems like he's like competent at stand up, but I don't get the appeal really. You know,
I find him so unlikable, and just his physical being is so off-putting to me. I can't tolerate it. It's so bad. So yeah, when I saw that, and Dalton, you're right again. I mean, the Ricky Stenicki movie, I was watching, I was like, why does this feel like a 90s comedy? And then I checked out the director, and it's Peter Farrelly.
It's a Farrelly brother movie. Oh. One
right
of
off of Green Book, winning Best Picture, and he directed that. He goes to Ricky Stenicki. So
no, he did that Zac Efron thing, the greatest beer run of all time, or whatever that movie was called.
Efron's and Ricky Stenicki.
Wow, it's like the new De Niro Scorsese.
Yeah. Efron's good.
Efron Farrelly.
Yeah. So I saw Santino, but then there's also a Johnny Knoxville movie that just came out that looks horrible, and it has Bobby Lee and Theo Vaughn as like members of his baseball team.
Oh my God.
There's so some, cashing in. There's a lot of comedians and podcasters where it is like, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't try, stay in your lane.
No, you know what it is? It's
like, that's my move. I don't want to fucking act.
Executives just like don't, they're just like, they're trying to, here's the thing, like all these movies are like $1 to $2 million budget movies that go straight to fucking streaming basically, and executives who are scared for their jobs like, oh, that person has a following, so they'll talk about it on their podcast, so if we just get all the people listening to their podcast to rent the movie, we'll make all of our money back, like, you know, even if it sucks.
Dude, even as talented as like Louis C.K. is, he tried to make a movie and we got Pootie Tang.
Great film.
Great film. We got Pootie Tang and then that pedophile movie that never came out.
Which is that was a good movie. I saw it.
Yeah,
good?
I watched it. It's good. Yeah, it's good.
I haven't seen it. That's like
it's weird. It's very strange. Lewis
Holocaust clown movie. I guess we'll never get to.
Oh, no. That's coming out this year.
Oh, is it? This year. Okay.
It's finally, it's going to be playing only at a museum in Virginia or somewhere.
Oh, but yeah. Shit.
It's going to be screened.
All right, let's carpool. I want to go see Jerry Lewis.
Hitler, no.
did they try to find the place with the least amount of Jews to show that movie? we're going to Virginia where the minimum impact.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just playing like a really black neighbor. Like, what the fuck?
It's playing at the Apollo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God, that's so. Wait, so it's just playing at a museum in Virginia? That's crazy.
For now, a museum has the master copy of The Day the Clown Cried, and I know all this because I was I don't know why I get obsessed with Hitler every so often, and right now it's just because I saw.
That's a slippery slope, lower. Yeah. Well, You don't want to get obsessed with Hitler. No, I know what you mean, though.
Lincoln Center was they were showing a 8-hour Hitler movie called Our Hitler, a film from Germany. I said, that's the must-see ticket in town. I'm going to go get myself a ticket for that and sit and watch. And that was quite a time. But yes, no, this Jerry Lewis Hitler Holocaust movie is going to drop this year, and a museum owns it. They can technically go do like a traveling road show, Kevin Smith style, if they want.
They should have Kevin Smith introduce The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah, imagine the Kevin Smith where it's him crying. So I just saw The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah. He's like, this moved me almost as much as when Jason Mewes said Snoochie Boochies and Chasing Amy.
Yeah, this made me tear up about as much as Quantumania.
Yeah, speaking of which, not to derail, we'll get to the show in a second, folks, but Robert Gibson says Kevin A. Smith, which I assume is a Stephen A. Smith, and I think it might sound a little something like this. Now you got Jay's he's a talker, he's a real talker, he loves to talk, he sells drugs, but he's got a heart of gold. And then you got Silent Bob. Now Silent Bob does not talk that much, but he's got a lot on his mind and he's very communicative. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Will they strike back? I think they just might. Okay, that was Kevin A. Smith. Oh, man, great. Thank you, Robert. Great assist there. So Tarantino's just scrapped the movie critic. And there was like a leak that said that what was going to happen was all of his characters from his other movies we're going to make cameos in it, like a character. And I was thinking, like, do you think he scrapped it because he realized he was ripping off the View Askewniverse?
I saw that headline and I definitely, I did think, like, it's for the best that he got rid of that. That he did away with that idea.
One character is okay. Multiple characters, you're doing an Avengers Assemble lineup of all your, you know, I don't think that's the way to go. You know, Dalton, I don't know if you're a fan of Kevin Smith, but Robbie, I know you are. I got a copy of his, I guess it's technically released, it's not unreleased, but his ultra rare slasher film, Kilroy, was here.
Oh yes, I saw you tweeted about that. Yeah
tell me about we covered it for my podcast, Movies, podcast about the act of cinema. I forgot the title of my own show. A podcast about the act of cinema today. Movies
with Hans and Franz or something.
Just type in movies into Google and it'll come up somewhere. But we covered
with Kilroy was here.
Yes, we covered that for the latest episode, and it's probably the worst film I've ever seen from a named director, like an established director. And I'll gladly send you both a copy if you'd like.
I'd love to.
I'll go check it out.
So it's
worse than Yoga Hosers.
It makes Yoga Hosers look like a masterpiece. Like extremely competent filmmaking. Yes.
They're telling you the movie where the big reveal was Ralph Garman was in it. That's better than
that. Well, he's back. He comes back in this as a pedophile priest. And it's Kevin Smith he must have been really annoyed with politics. I know he shot this during like 2018 or 2019. And it dropped in 2022 as a limited edition NFT you had to pay something like $5,000 for.
Yeah.
And
so he Wu-Tang this movie?
Yeah. Who's giving you thumbs down? And how are they doing that?
I don't know how this happened. Dude, there's like fucking every time we do a stream, there's always like thumbs up and down and balloons and confetti. And I never know where it's coming from or how it's happening.
Oh my God. I wasn't even saying anything. Sorry. 1 second. I was thinking about this. What about Stephen A. Serbian film? And what's a Serbian film?
guy fucks his dead kid or something. I don't know. And it's a snuff film in Serbia.
All right, y'all. I do not like to fuck my kid. But if I do, I would have to kill him.
that's okay. Stephen A. Serbian film. So Kevin Smith released Kilroy is here as an NFT. Is this the only movie that's been released as an NFT?
There might be others since, but this was the first one.
It's like, what a grift NFTs were, and it's crazy how many people were like gung-ho about it. Like the one time I went to South by Southwest, everyone was so
thank you for NFT. Clarifying.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it might be the other South by. They might think it's like South by
sexual.
South by South Park.
South by South sexual.
Yeah, South by South sexual. South Park by, you know. All right, Rod. New rule. No fucking your dead kid. I'm trying not to read the chats unless it's a super chat, but the chat's very funny today.
The chats are funnier than we are now.
I know. The chats are carrying this episode, but that's okay. Fuck. Oh, yeah. So everyone was just like obsessed with NFTs, and I was like, these are, and it was all like big media people, like all the people who like make decisions and stuff, and like the up and coming. And like, it just made me like lose all faith in like the entertainment industry, like the institutions and stuff. Cause it's like, if you guys are all like bamboozled by this obvious grift fad, like there's just no hope for fucking, you know.
Yeah. Anything. I mean, I tried not to condemn it necessarily while it was happening, but I was very off put by it. It wasn't something that captured me. The people who were comparing it to like cryptocurrency and things like that, saying, oh, it's just a big Ponzi scheme, it's a big scam, I felt like weren't probably doing it, they weren't deconstructing it in the best way possible. They were simplifying it in a way that made me not trust their rendition as well. But you cut to 2 years later and it's like, is anybody talking about these? Does anyone care about their NFTs? What are they worth now?
Yeah. And I wasn't even an NFT hater. It was just like the weird cultish. Everyone was like obsessed with it. It's like all anyone would talk about. So it's
it
like
was definitely inflated. Like it did seem like a scheme, like a scheme, like a bunch of people got together to artificially inflate the value of these things so that like, Seth Green would spend $100,000 on a picture of a monkey.
Oh my God, I know.
And have it stolen.
Dude, that's so. I love that, like, the one, like, I think Jake Paul bought one for like $2 million and it's worth like $500 now or something. Well,
aren't the Paul brothers are implicated in some sort of crypto scam, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jake Paul had like,
dude, the Prime. I am loathe to admit that the Prime energy drink is good.
It's fucking great. I love it. I know that the thing came out today that said, hey, there's like four times as many permanent chemicals that will change your DNA and you'll get cancer, but it's too late. I got a 12 pack in the fridge, so I'm just gonna have to take the hit.
It's up there with Celsius and Rainstorm. It's pretty good.
I love Celsius. I like the Prime like coconut water drink. I actually think that's very good. It's very sugary.
I'm not so much a fan. That's a little too sweet for me. I love the energy drinks, but if I do get that, I'll have to like dump out half of it and fill it with water. Cause it's just like you're drinking candy.
Yeah. What can I say? I have a sweet tooth. Hee hee.
Dude, yeah, I got a big sweet tooth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's why I'm fat as shit, dude. I love sweets.
Dude, so do I. It's just about moderation, which is hard for. I think every comedian is like an addict, honestly. Mm-hmm. Comedians don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, every comedian is kind of twisted. You know, you have to be a little demented to do what comedians do.
That's true. There's only like 500 of us.
And
have you ever thought about what it would be like to talk to just like a civilian?
That's a liberal estimate. That's very generous. In reality, there's probably only about 250 that are actually able to work as comedians.
Yeah. If only they could see inside our mind, like a civilian could see inside of our minds, they would realize that they're lucky. I wish I was them. I wish, dude, I was these boring pieces of shit.
I'm when I hear those kinds of guys talk like that about anything to do with the craft or how it works or any of that, I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm convinced that nobody knows what they're talking about. Because, I mean, each person just has the career they have. Well,
that's all the Rogan guys, right? It's like, look at their product.
They all try to come up with, like, the rules or what is actually going on with, like, it takes at least 10 years and all the different things they say about comedians. And it's like, there's no rules to any of this. To any sort of, like, creative
thing. Rules. The only rules I want to hear from Bill Maher.
I don't think I don't think there's any hard and fast rules for any sort of creative outlet. I've seen, like,
whenever Rogan talks about starting out in comedy, I'm like, oh, you're just so, it's been so long since you like have been in an environment where struggling comedians are, because it's just so out of date. Like, it would be like, man, you just have to like grind for like 2 months and then you'll get in at a club if you're funny. It's like, no, that's not what fucking happened.
Robbie, I thought you banned John Castle. Get his negative ass out of here.
No, is he bad? I put him in timeout.
Get this motherfucking bitch ass out of here. All right,
you know what?
John, go watch my podcast. It's premiering right now.
Yeah, go watch Dalton. He's more of a Dalton kind of guy anyway. All of Dalton's commenters are like, you suck, I hate this. I'm just going to stick around for like 2 hours, though.
We should tune into it right now and just comment on it.
Oh, yeah.
There should be a live stream.
You guys want to watch my podcast?
Yeah, I mean, the rules of stand-up, or the modern truth tellers, truth to power, modern philosophers is really how I think. You know, I admire it. You know, it's like firemen and police officers, the stand-up comedian. I don't know. There are people out there like Ricky Gervais, for example. Ricky Gervais, he just got, you know, a gig in radio and then did TV and then became, I think, like one of the highest, you know, profiting stand-up comedians of all time.
One comedy tour, yeah.
Yeah, in like 5 years. Or like you look at the $1 million extreme guys and none of them did stand-up ever, but now they're selling out shows in every single city because...
That's the move, is to do something else and get successful and then just back your way into stand-up.
I mean, that's
everybody has to respect you. Everybody has to completely throw their own rules out the window when they interview you and go, you're actually like really talented at stand-up comedy. And it's like, really? Because I thought it took 10 years to get good at this, and I've only been doing it like 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that guys like Ricky Gervais, it's like we're in the Matrix and they're like Morpheus, you know, and when you attend a show, that's taking the red pill. I don't know, whatever. Like these guys just like talk about it. Like all those Rogan guys, like Andrew Schultz, all those guys, they all like are the new versions of the guys with like the caution tape over their mouths. You know, just like they think like, oh, I sent this to Dalton. Jamie Kennedy has been tweeting like all this shit about like, if you're not pissing people off, you're not a real comedian. I'm like, who are you pissing off, Jamie Kennedy?
I think he pissed off Jim Jeffries when he stole his bit about orgasms and Down syndrome people and changed it to a sushi chef. So you guys know about that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. Well, I was a big fan of Jim Jeffries before he joined Comedy Central and became Jon Stewart clone number 7. And Jamie Kennedy, he used to have a bit, I think, about like, oh, does a normal person or does a Down syndrome person look normal when they orgasm? Because you look fucking stupid when you're coming. And then Jamie Kennedy stole it verbatim and then replaced it with just like Asian person. Do you look Chinese? Does a Chinese person look white when they come? This is a real thing. So
it's a good question.
All right. Robert asked, when is the modern philosophy again?
Yeah, I'm not going to do Joe Rogan just to do it. You know, I'm a little above that. I'll do it when I have a new special to promote or when the Knicks playoffs are over.
I met Jim Jeffries in person, Drew. He was nice. He was very drunk, and he was very nice to me.
Really? He was drunk, huh?
Yeah, he was really drunk, but he was really nice.
Shocker.
I think he's with booth, though. I think he's... All right, how do I bring him back? Everyone wants me to bring back John Castle.
No, he's in timeout.
Oh, hey, Crack's here.
Cinema,
Wendell.
The silver screen, Tinseltown,
Julius Wendell.
Hollywood. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about. All right. So we're here to talk about. We're gonna do a summer movie preview, everybody. We're gonna do a summer movie preview. So have you guys? I'll start out by asking: have you seen anything good so far that's been released this year?
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse
is great. I honestly love Roadhouse.
Wow. All right. We're already off to the races.
I love Roadhouse.
Yeah.
It's such a fun just turn your brain off movie. It was so good.
Dude, I want to ask
somebody in my comments called it the prime energy of movies. And I think that's pretty on point.
Yeah, it's definitely like an energy drink movie. And
But we need those. We need more of those. There's nothing for dudes anymore. I hate to be this guy, but there's really nothing for like regular dudes.
It's a dude's rock movie. Gyllenhaal, he rocks in it, and the UFC shit works. I was like wondering how what that was going to be like in the movie, how they were going to pull this off. And then all the ties that he has, that character to the UFC and all that is very fun. Conor McGregor, breakout star of the movie. He's great.
Really genius stunt casting.
He's so good. When people were saying that he's like a bad actor, or he sucks in or whatever, I'm like, no, this was
way in the perfect way.
This movie was built around Conor McGregor. He's perfect for this because they made it for him.
Also, that's what movies like used to be like Mr. T and Rocky, like just like dumbass stunt casting that's just entertaining, you know?
Right. Well, there's the concept of movie stars, and you don't really get the movie stars anymore. You get people who aspire to be Daniel Day-Lewis, and they want to disappear into a role and do it that way instead of just presenting their personality, and that's the character. And I think that's what you get here. Now, the Roadhouse movie that they made for this year would have ran out of gas, I think, if you didn't throw him in about halfway in like they did. And then it becomes a completely different movie. And it's terrific. That's definitely one of my favorites from this year. It was definitely the most fun from this year. No
question. Really fun. It's shot in a weird way that's visually appealing.
Yeah.
There's moments that look like a fucking Metal Gear Solid game that I was like, I don't know why it looks like this, but that's cool.
Hey, what's up?
It seemed like they were making a distinct effort to shoot and then CG in a way where they were emphasizing the blows of each punch, making contact with people's faces. It felt like at times there was like GoPro being used to shoot the movie. it was just very visually distinct in a way that I don't think you get too often, especially for a streaming movie.
Yeah, I also like the Key West of it all. But you know what's funny is they really were trying to push for a theatrical release, like to the point where apparently the director like went to Jeff Bezos's boat to like show it to him personally. So you're like, hey, can you like, can you just like, I think this is a hit. Can you put it in theaters? And they just like refused. And then it was like the biggest movie in streaming.
Well, I believe they told him, yeah, we'll put this in theaters. And then a couple weeks before it was about to come out on Amazon Prime, they were like, yeah, we lied to you. This is actually going to just drop on streaming. And he tried to boycott the premiere as a result of that. He was very pissed off. But I think it's probably for the best that it just dropped on streaming. I think this is like a fun, free movie to watch and sit down and enjoy was absolutely to its benefit.
I like that Conor McGregor in the movie has pretty much the same exact presence as like Fat Bastard in Austin Powers 2. Just like this like foreigner that just injects a lot of energy into the movie every time he's on screen.
Yeah.
You know, same. They're both Scottish too.
He's amazing. Yeah. He's incredible. Just as a real life guy. He's such a character in real life. And then he really
he's like a cartoon who rapes allegedly.
Isn't he thinking about running for prime minister of Ireland or something like that? I don't know. He's
why not
very worked up over politics.
Why not let him do it?
Oh, like he's sponsored by Prime?
Yeah.
He's the prime minister.
I consider Logan Paul to be the true prime minister. Yeah, they should.
Are you looking forward to that fight with Mike Tyson, Logan?
Dude, I want Mike Tyson to beat the shit, but I've heard Jake Paul's really good.
No, Mike Tyson is going to explode his liver.
He's old, though, right?
I mean, I don't know enough about...
Thank you, Crack, for the $2. I gave Crack the link, but I'm sure he's probably busy. But thank you for the $2.
He wants to know if you're on the set of The Truman Show. I don't know what
that... Hey, how about the new Ruhlman show? That's what I want to see.
Somebody keeps asking, which one was drop...
it? Sorry, go ahead.
No, somebody in the chat keeps saying, is that Dan Soder with Down syndrome?
I don't know who you're even referring to.
Down Soder?
Down Soder. Down syndrome.
Down
syndrome. Down syndrome. Soder.
I don't know. I don't know which one he's talking about.
There we go. The True Martin show. Okay.
The True Martin show. Thank you.
New rule. If I'm going to have a life, it better not be fake.
New rule. In case I don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
New rule. Yeah. New rule. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. New rule. All righty then. New rule, smoking. Okay.
Yeah. Roadhouse was good. I watched we talked about this on the thing we do in Oldershaw, but I saw a really quaint, beautiful movie with it was Dale Dickey and the guy, the Indian fellow or native tribesman, whatever you call him now. The guy, he's like a big time, well respected. I forget the actor's name.
He's falling off his chair. Yeah, because he's too big for it. Anyway, sorry. Okay.
No, who's the Native American actor that was? He was in Last Mohicans, I think.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
No.
Tom Cruise.
I can't remember the guy's name. It's a movie. It's Dale Dickey and this guy, and it's called Love Song. Great. 80 minutes.
Yeah, you told me that was
beautiful
good.
Movie.
That's from this year?
I think it was either this year or last year. I don't know. It's a recent film. Just a small little independent little picture, and it's really, there's not a lot of people in it. It's a very quiet movie too. It does something I really enjoy where it just takes its time and there's not a lot of dialogue in it. The script is maybe 2 pages long, probably.
Those are good. Like a lot of times, a lot of directors will make a movie like that. It's almost like a, you know, you might know this, low res. It's just kind of like almost like a demo. Like they'll make like a very technical movie just to like show off what they can do, kind of.
Sure. There's a movie that's been kind of low key this year that I thought was excellent, which was called Snack Shack.
Godzilla vs. Kong. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. What's that fucking movie?
Better Godzilla movie. There's a movie called Snack Shack that I haven't seen anybody really talking about. It's not one of these period pieces that seems like overly concerned with modern sensibilities, which I, you know, you see that creeping in more and more. If you see a movie or TV show that takes place in the 80s or 90s and they're using like modern lingo, that's a real big pet peeve of mine. But the Snack Shack movie's been good. And it's kind of like a throwback to late 80s or early 90s teen films like License to Drive with the Coreys. And who doesn't love the Coreys?
Yeah, it's like a coming of age. I've seen people praise this movie. That's it's a nice little just refreshing throwback to when stuff was good and we weren't inundated with dog shit.
Yeah, I love how many movies that everyone's liked lately. It's like, no, it's like a movie from before. Like before.
Yeah, everything good now is just like people just say, oh yeah, it reminds me of when life didn't fucking suck.
Like that was our review of Ricky Sinicky Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's the like, hey, bare minimum that a movie can accomplish.
Jerry Seinfeld is right that like for the most part movies are kind of dead.
I love that Seinfeld keeps coming out with like pretty good takes and everyone's like, fuck you, Jerry. Like I remember in the pandemic he's like, New York's gonna come back, it's not gonna die, and everyone's like, fuck you, Jerry, New York is dead forever. And now he's like, movies aren't good anymore, and everyone's like, fuck you, Jerry. Yes, they
are. Well, the thing is, he has good takes, but he's bad at executing.
Yes,
good things.
Classic autistic guy. He's a classic autistic guy.
Yeah, because he's like, movies are dead, but also I made a movie about Pop Tarts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's more so. I guess my complaint about that is you're contributing to that by doing your big Amy Schumer 100. Stars in this $50 million
dude,
Netflix
that
movie.
Trailer reminded me of that speaking of Kevin Smith, that line I think it's from Jane Sonbo's Strike Back where they mention Magnolia and Jay goes, what, that star-studded piece of shit. That's what that trailer for Unfrosted reminded me of. That I was like, yo, there's way too many like heavy hitters in this for this to even just the amount of stars in it. There's too many to be good. You can't have that many, you know, like that many high level famous people. Do what?
What about New Year's Eve? That's a good movie.
Sure.
It seems like just like one of those movies where like he called in a lot of favors and he's like, just one day, just 2 days of shooting and we'll be in and out. But here's the thing. He's been trying to get this made forever. This is like a passion project, which is very funny.
This is his doctor.
How long has this been in development? How long has he been trying to do
that? He's been talking about this movie for like ever since Seinfeld and like pre B movie. He's been talking about making this movie and it just happened to align with this weird trend lately of like origin stories for products. So they're like, all right, fine. We'll fucking make it. He has like bits about Pop-Tarts. He's like obsessed with it.
Pop Tarts are good.
I'm kind of interested. It could be like a Day the Clown Cried kind of thing, you know, where it's just like he made a Mank, where it's like, oh, you just made a movie for yourself, which I always love those. But out of like,
you think it might be instead of being a good movie, it'll be a good revelation into who Jerry Seinfeld is.
Yeah, much like B Movie though, and B Movie's great because it's like, who did he make B Movie for?
It'll be a better exploration of the Seinfeld psyche than it is just a good movie.
Seinfeld. I'm solving mysteries with my mind.
Yeah, the movie may be called Frosted, but it looks like it's been frosted with some dog shit.
Hey,
it looks like it sucks.
Hey, more like unwatchable.
I just don't like this trend that's coming about now of we have the high rated, well regarded, product placement movie, kind of similar to what Barbie was. But I enjoyed Barbie, but I think we're bound to get more and more of these as
I couldn't make it through Barbie. I watched about a half hour and I said, too many girls in this movie.
It is funny though that they set themselves up to fail because they were like, not to fail, but it's like the message of the movie is like, oh, it's a comedy where all the guys are fucking dumb, but it's like dumb things are funny. Dumb guys are fucking funny.
Yeah, dumb guys are cool.
So all the guys are so much more endearing than the women in the movie because they're all like stupid.
Yeah, but I watched $2 Super Chat.
$2 Michael Tall Butter on a Strawberry Pop Tart is very good.
I gotta try that. I couldn't make it through Barbie, but I did watch Air. And I thought Air had some really good performances.
I like Air.
and it told a story that I could not have been less interested in.
It's, yeah, I loved it.
Also, obviously, bullshit. Like, what is the story? It's oh my god, crack. Hashtag bang dang cancel gang. but like the story is like the triumphant story of a man who decided, who got Michael Jordan to sign to Nike. It's like,
yeah, the triumphant story of marketing executive. Okay,
cool. But I did enjoy it. I thought Ben Affleck gave like a very earnest love of like basketball in the movie, which resonated.
There's good performance in it.
Yeah, everybody's so good in the movie. It reignited my interest in basketball and also just vintage sports from you know, that time period. Like, I was such a big fan of the Chicago Bulls back in the day. And yeah, it made me go and check out, as a result, Winning Time, which got the plug pulled on it at the exact wrong moment, which kind of worked out for
the
Boston
Celtics
fans.
Win at the end. Yeah.
Yes, I love that that's the unintentional ending of that series. Oh, the show called Winning Time ends with the Lakers losing. It's perfect. And that was a great show. And I loved how that was done, you know, using film and digital.